Welcome to Raising the Lombardi.
Welcome to Raising the Lombardi. This is our second episode. I'm joined by one member of the Buffalo Fanatics, Rico Bellini. Rico, thank you for coming. Really appreciate it. And we're gonna hop right into it. This is a question I ask all my guests first. So, who is your favorite Bills player of all time, and who is your current favorite Bills player?
Ooh, okay. So favorite Bills player of all time, it's got to be Stevie Johnson. A lot of people love Stevie Johnson, but a lot of people are like, nah, Stevie Johnson's okay, but he dropped those balls, whatever. That's my guy. Because he, in my opinion, when people were not paying attention to the Bills, they wanted nothing to do with the Bills. The Bills had no quarterbacks. They were doing nothing. Stevie is what made the Bills somewhat attractive. And he was showing love to Buffalo. And everybody was like, okay, Buffalo's making some noise. Not in the winning department, but at least we know who this team is because of this flashy receiver that's making all these DBs look stupid. So that's my guy, Stevie Johnson, my current favorite Bill right now. That's an interesting one, man. Currently on the squad who I ride for this guy. I mean, it's going to sound like a generic freaking answer, but I got to give it to Josh Allen. Josh Allen is that dude right now. So that's it, man. So Josh Allen is my current favorite Bill. But if it's not Josh Allen, if I'm choosing someone to be my current favorite Bill, that's a tough one, man. Maybe Jordan Poyer. Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde. Those are the two guys that I look at.
The best safety tandem in the league, by the way.
I'm telling you.
Exactly.
You better put some respect on those cats' names.
Exactly. I mean, hey, Jordan Poyer, finally, first team All-Pro this year.
That's it, man.
Yeah. good. And then Poyer, I think, was a second team All-Pro. So shout out to them, finally getting their respect after, you know, they've been getting snubbed for years now, but they're getting their respect now. Shout out to them. But we're going to opt into this. We're going to get into the draft first, and then I'm going to talk about a little bit about the offense and then the defense. So, I mean, this ties into the defense. But in the first round, the Bills selected Kaiir Elam with the 30th pick, a corner from Florida. I really like this pick a lot. I know in your mock, I think you said you had them taking Breece Hall with that pick.
You get me my feelings right now, man.
But, yeah, I just wanted to know how did you feel about Elam? Because I know you said you wanted Breece Hall, but I like this pick because I think I like the idea of having a longer corner next to Tre'Davious, because Tre'Davious is obviously, he's not a huge guy, but still top five corner when healthy. And I like this pick because he's, you know, long, lengthy guy. He can still move. And what are your thoughts on this pick versus like what you wanted them to pick?
Well, listen, I wanted us to grab running back in the first round. And The reason for it, I don't want to be long drawn out of it, but Zach Moss didn't have the season that we thought he would. And he didn't have the season that he thought he would have.
Yep.
Devin Singletary had a solid end of the season. He really came on strong, but he's going into his fourth and final year of his contract. So decisions have to be made. We now drafted James Cook. So we knew we needed a running back. So why not get a running back, the best running back in the draft, even if you have to spend a first round draft pick on it. Now, getting Kaiir Elam, I completely understand why. Trey White is now nursing an injury. He won't be back for the opening game. So you had to do something at cornerback position, especially losing Levi Wallace. Dane Jackson's going to his third year. We'll see what Dane Jackson can bring you. But Kaiir Elam gives you length, he gives you speed, and he gives you physicality. Physicality not because he's a big tackler. He's wishy-washy on the tackling. However, he will jam you up at the line, slow your stuff down, and allow the hogs and allow their dogs to get after the quarterback. And I'm talking about that pass rush. So Kaiir Elam coming to Buffalo, I think it's a great long-term move, especially because Trey White's coming off of the ACL. So we don't know how he's going to recover and how he's going to come back. So it's always good to have a young, fresh, young cornerback that's been in big games and gone against big time competition. So Kaiir Elam coming to the Bills paired with Trey White and that big time safety tandem in the backfield, that's perfect. So you can't go wrong with that.
And speaking of the defense in general, obviously Tre'Davious and Kaiir Elam, that's going to be a really solid corner tandem there. And then obviously, as we said, best safety tandem in the league. Matt Milano was unreal last year for the Bills. And thank God we re-signed him. I was very happy we did that. And then obviously signed Von Miller. Because obviously, as we know, the pass rush the last few years, it's been, you know, hasn't been the best. You know, we haven't had that one guy that's a big difference maker. And I really like the addition of Greg Rousseau. You know, big long guy. And he had a great year last year, had four sacks, and he intercepted Mahomes in that Chiefs game during the season, so that was sick. And amazing. Boogie Basham in the third or second round, I think.
Second round, yeah.
Yep. And so, yeah, I like those young guys, but I really, really like the addition of Von Miller. I know people are going to say, he's a little old. I don't like the contract. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion. He just won it last year. He had two sacks in the Super Bowl last year. and he had 9.5 last year during the season. So what are your thoughts on that pickup? I'm really a fan of it. How do you feel about that?
That's a huge pickup, man. Having Von Miller, here's the deal, man. Brandon Bean, and he has a love for the trenches, right? Yep. More specifically, the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. The last few years, he's invested the most out of any position group on the team. He's invested the most in the defensive line. And that stems back a few years now. So one thing that we lacked is the ability to close. It's to close games out, right? Getting after the quarterback and actually affecting and really bringing down the quarterback. Yes, we were one of the best teams in pressuring the quarterback, but we never were able to finish. And guys like Pat Mahomes, Justin Herbert, that are able to get out of the pocket, if you are not disciplined enough, they're gone. So a guy like Von Miller not only brings his pass rush ability, but more importantly, and this is why he got paid the way he got paid, was the ability to teach, right? Teaching the young guys on that line, the Ed Olivers, the Boogie Bashams, the AJ Epinesas, the Greg Rousseaus, the knowledge that they're going to get from a future Hall of Famer in Von Miller is you can't, there's not enough money you can pay for that, right? Yep. So yes, you're going to pay that big amount for Von Miller, but you gain a lot more with the pieces around Von Miller. And Von Miller is only 32. I mean, a pass rusher, a lot of folks will look at it, oh, he's older, but these guys are playing a lot longer in this league. So he has probably another four years that he really contributes. So this will definitely help out the team that we have right now, especially the young pieces around. And we'll see how that plays out this year. But I'm looking for big things coming from Von Miller, especially in the long run of the game and the stretch of the season. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, I agree. And we're going to shift it over to the offense now. Obviously, as we know, Allen in the offense during the season, a little up and down compared to, you know, the season beforehand where he was second in MVP votes and he looked just unreal. Going into the playoffs, he was like a whole different animal last year. I mean, he was probably the best quarterback in the league in the playoffs last year. He was unreal. And obviously, during the season, he wasn't the best. I mean, 63% completion, 36 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. But a lot of the things he did in the season that you saw glimpses of, oh, he's going to be really good when he does this or he fixes this and he cuts down turnovers, he put it all together in the playoffs. And he was damn near perfect in the playoffs. Two games, 637 yards, 77% completion, 9 touchdowns. Well, what do you think for him this season?
Josh Allen has he's got a lot on his shoulders because they got bounced out by the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. One game needed to go to the Super Bowl, bounced out. Then he gets bounced out of a divisional round game against who? Kansas City's very own Patrick Mahomes. So yes, there's a lot of pressure on Josh Allen, and more so because we got a new offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey.
Yep.
We're going to see how that dynamic plays out. But is he an MVP candidate? 1,000%. This guy is a beast, and he's only going into his prime. Yep. Think about it. He's going into his prime, and we already feel like he's elite right now. Exactly. So wait till he gets another season or two under his belt where he can be amongst the Tom Brady's and the Drew Brees's and the Aaron Rodgers. When you mention those names, you want to be able to mention Josh Allen. And if he's got himself in that realm, then the Bills are in great position for years to come. And something tells me, man, we're going to have our Super Bowl sooner than later. But I mean, anything can happen. We've been there 4 times before and the results were not great. So hopefully we're in a position that we can do big things with Josh Allen at quarterback. So I'm looking very much forward to my guy, Josh.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I love Josh Allen. Obviously got the jersey back there. I love me some Josh Allen. He's just great. You know how he just jumps over guys. He does all this stuff and you're like, I don't think we could love a guy more than we love Josh Allen.
Heck yeah, man. Heck yeah, that's my guy.
He's just the best. But going into the receivers, obviously Diggs, no need to talk about him. He's amazing. Obviously top 5 receiver when he's healthy as well. He's great. One of the best route runners in the league. But one guy I'm really excited for this year is Mr. Gabriel Davis after especially what he did in the playoffs last year. And he's going to be the clear-cut number 2. I mean, they obviously added Jameson Crowder, which is going to be the Beasley replacement in the slot. But now we got Davis who's going to be alongside Diggs. He's going to be the number 2 full-time now. And I think he's going to pop off next year. I think he's going to be unreal. I really think him and Diggs could each get 1,000 yards next year. I don't think that's unrealistic to say. Like, I honestly think he's that good. And how do you think he's going to perform going into this year?
That's really bold of you to say that we're going to get 2,000 yard receivers in both Gabe Davis and Diggs. Well, I mean, listen, we got more weapons on the squad, right? We got Jameson Crowder that's going to take a handsome amount of catches and receptions. But Gabe Davis is coming into his own. I'm going to tell you right now, man, he was already supposed to be a high draft pick, but his 40 time is what kind of brought him, dropped him, you know, in a round or two. So he is talented. So the Bills grabbed a very good one in Gabe Davis. And people don't realize that the long speed that Gabe Davis has, he was our best deep threat when even John Miller, what's my receiver's name? John Brown. I said John Miller. You got John Brown was our speed guy. Yeah. But guess what? Gabe Davis was the guy that was actually getting the long speed. He was the one that was getting down the field much more effectively than John Brown was. So keep that in mind, man. Gabe Davis is going to be special now. Keep in mind now, he's now number two. So they're going to treat him like number two. So we're going to find out what's really good with Gabe Davis. But I'm not at all worried about Gabe. I think he's going to have a monster year. He's only going to prove to a lot of folks that 4-touchdown game wasn't a fluke. I'm going to show y'all what's really good when the season starts. So watch out for Gabe Davis, man. So he's going to be a special, special talent.
Yeah, I agree. And obviously, going back to the defense a little bit, I'm really interested to see how Trey is going to look coming off of that torn ACL, because we see it a lot in not just football, but every sport. Like anytime a player tears an ACL or like any major injury, an Achilles, something like that, they don't really come back looking the same. We saw it in basketball. Let's go with Derrick Rose. We saw it. KD, you know, obviously he's still really good, but that didn't really quite look the same after his Achilles. How do you think he's going to look coming off the torn ACL? And what do you think he's going to return? Because he's obviously not going to be back for, you know, week
one. Well, there's a multitude of options as to when potentially he comes back. So some people are saying he can come back week one. I doubt it. So there's options. He can be on the PUP list, right? The physical able to perform list, unable to perform list. That's 6 weeks. Or that's option number one. Or he can go on the IR. IR, you can come back after 3 weeks. So there's a lot of options here with how long we can have him come back. If you go on the PUP list, by the time he comes back, we'll have the bye week, and he'll be back, I believe, for the Green Bay game. If you don't want him back for Green Bay, you can have him an extra week, and then he's back week 7, week 8. So it's going to be interesting to see how they play out. But, I mean, listen, we have one of the best medical staff in the game. So I am at all not worried about Trey White. When he's ready to come back, he's rehabbed like crazy. I think he'll be ready to really get back into shape, back into form, to get this team back to number one defense in the game with a newly acquired rookie quarterback and cornerback in Elam. Look out for this defense, man. We thought we were nasty last year. We might be even nastier this year. So watch out, man.
I agree. I think the defense is actually going to be better this year, because obviously last year we had Levi Wallace as a number two. Let's face it, he's not really a number two. Like, I mean, he's good enough to stay at the number two for a bit. But then, as we saw when Trey White went down, him as the number one was no bueno, as you know, not great. But he's off to Pittsburgh now. But I really like the addition of Elam. That's really fun. We got about 2 minutes here, so I'm just going to ask you one more question about
No doubt.
Yeah. So Tremaine Edmonds, I think this is kind of a make or break year for him. Obviously, he's shown flashes of being really good, and he's shown flashes of, you know, he doesn't really fill the gaps properly. He's sometimes kind of a little flat-footed. He doesn't really know where he needs to be. What kind of year do you think we're going to get from him after, you know, the year he had last year?
Tremaine Edmonds, I'll keep it very quick. Tremaine Edmonds, a middle linebacker, needs a very good defensive tackle that can plug and that can, you know, he allows him to be free, to play free and be free. So we have Tim Settle that we just brought in, a big boy.
I like that.
And Daquan Jones is a plugger. So that allows the defensive tackle to occupy guard play and keep Tremaine Edmonds clean. So when he can see and react, a lot of times he was over pursuing a lot, right? Compensating for lack of push from the interior. Now that we have that, this will allow him to free up, which should then give us an opportunity to see, is he part of this future or not? That's going to be a lot of money. So we're going to see. I'm looking forward to a big year from Tremaine Edmonds, and we'll see how it plays out, man.
Well, Rico, thank you. Thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it. That's going to about do it for the 15-minute episode, because we can only go 15 minutes for this assignment. But this has been Raising the Lombardi with Rico Bellini. Tune in next week when I think it will be the Kansas City Chiefs episode. So thank you for joining me, Rico. Really appreciate it. And that's why the Buffalo Bills will win the Super Bowl this year.